No. Yeah, that'll work. Great. Right. So, Angelique was asked to check my sermon, and if it's 3 pages, you must take out the middle one, so that the guys don't miss the rugby today. And luckily, I've got the scripture on a slideshow. I've got it on Dropbox saved, so you guys are going to have to sit through all the pages this morning. All right, but I trust that God's going to do something big in our hearts and our minds today. All right, so I want to start with a scripture that we've heard quite a couple of times over this last, I would say, 2 months, and I want to use that to launch out today. So if you can, you can either open your Bibles to Matthew 16, or you can look at the screen, and we'll just start from there. So it says, then Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked the disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. He changes his name. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And this morning when we were praying, Roland was praying for those gates to be kicked down in the area of Brackenfell. And I really trust that God's going to do something big in this time going forward. We've heard the prophetic words, and we're trusting for something big to happen. And so I hope you guys are ready. I hope the right tires are fitted for the terrain. And so this morning, I don't have 12 points like last time. I've got 2 points. All right. They've asked me to keep it short, but it's 2 long points. Okay, but it's gonna be powerful. And I believe that the 2 greatest keys to transformation in your life and your family's life, in areas of weakness, are contained in this scripture that we've read here this morning. And the 2 greatest keys of transformation is this. It's Jesus. Jesus that went to the cross for us. And the church. The 2 greatest keys to transformation in our lives is Jesus and the church. And I'm going to start off with the church, because I think we need to look at the church differently. There's this trend going around the world where people are thinking, man, church is not that important, because we can have access to sermons wherever we can, on internet, on TV, and the conviction of church that is important is not there in the hearts anymore. And some people think it's all right to sit at home with their PJs on and watch someone preach while they're eating their cornflakes or wheat peaks, or what is the favorite porridge now these days? Cocoa Pops. All right, Cocoa Pops. That's the healthiest. Egg and bacon. All right. And they think that it's okay to watch somebody preach a message about Jesus that they've never met before to a crowd that they've never done life before with. And sometimes it's okay. Sometimes you can't go to church. Then it's all right. Then I'm not saying it's wrong. But the Bible tells us that in Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So God tells us to meet together. Sundays, that's what we're doing here on Sundays, and Wednesdays, we've got Com Group. He tells us to meet together. And it is very important, because lives get changed. But it's not just about you, it's about your family being raised in an atmosphere, in an area where Jesus is being preached and lives are being changed. And so he tells us, do not forsake the gathering of the saints. And I want you guys to see that it's very important. And this morning, is there a lawyer here? Somebody training to be a lawyer? No. But what does a good lawyer do? Is there somebody? Ah. What does a good lawyer do? No. He keeps you out of jail, right? Yeah? Okay. All right. What does a good doctor do? I asked her this morning, are you going to become a doctor? And she's going to cardio. And what do you guys do?
We assist the cardiologist in diagnosing.
So that you can treat patients, so that you can keep them out of hospital. All right. So just as a good lawyer keeps you out of the jail and a good doctor keeps you out of the hospital, a good church will keep you out of hell. All right. So, and this is a good church because Jesus is being preached here. We're doing life together. And I'm so overwhelmed that me and my family is in this church. Because God, through Jesus Christ, transformed my life. And the fact that you're here this morning and didn't stay home for the rugby, God will do something big in your life today, this morning. I firmly believe in that. We heard it in the prayer meeting this morning. Luke confirmed it just before the prayer meeting. So, very key. I know we've got good worship. And I know we've got good leaders. But the most important thing, if Jesus is not the main reason why we're here this morning, and lives are not being transformed, then this is not a good church. But this is a good church because lives are being transformed. There's sitting people here that I've seen over the short time that I've been saved whose lives have transformed amazingly because of Jesus and the church. And so Jesus shows us the power of transformation in the church when he made a connection to the church and a transformation in Simon Peter's life in verses 17. And if you can just put that scripture up for me again. Because he first called him Simon. And then he called him Simon Peter. And then in verses 17, it says, Simon bar Jonas. And then he changed his name from Simon to Peter. He got a revelation. Jesus told him, and he got a revelation, and he changed his name. And that is very powerful. Simon means weak as sand. Peter means strong like a rock. And so the church, by preaching Jesus Christ, makes the weak strong. The weak become strong. The sand in people's lives are becoming rock solid because of Jesus and the church. And when you faithfully, and I want to say this, when you faithfully attend the church, it will transform your life when Jesus is preached there. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, it's not on there. It's just two scriptures that I said to you I'm going to mention, but it's not on there. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. When Jesus is being preached, transformation takes place. You are a new creation. And then in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul says, and he lists a horrible list of sins, like a whole catalog of sins. From drunkenness to fornication. And then in verses 11, he says, and such were some of you. And such was some of us that's here this morning. But then we got into a church. And Jesus changed our lives. We got washed. We got cleansed. We got baptized. And transformation took place. And this morning you are sitting here on account of that. And that is amazing. A church is not just a place where there's a stage and there's a band and there's a preacher. If the church, by preaching Jesus Christ, is not transforming lives, it is not a church. If it's not transforming and changing lives, it is not a church. And so the band can be almost as good as ours. And the preachers can be almost as good as Roland. But if lives are not being changed and transformed, friends, it is not a church. And it's amazing when we're at the gatherings. And what do they normally do? First, they get the people that's new, that's coming into the church, that decided to make Joshua Generation the church of, that they're going to be walking with. And they get them all on the stage there. That for me is amazing. People coming up the stage and saying their lives have been touched and transformed by Jesus, and they're becoming part of the church. And they're opening up each other's fridges and taking what belongs to each other, right? You know that, those of you that were there, you know the story. But people come in, broken people come in, their lives are changed. They come in one way, but they leave another way. Every time I see that, people coming into the church, I know it's people that's going to leave another way because of the transformation that takes place in their lives because of Jesus and the church. Amen? Do you guys believe that? You're all quiet here this morning. And because when we're in church, we're in an area of transformation. There is hope for your marriage. There is hope for your addiction. There is hope for your weakest place. And friends, let me tell you, if you get in church and you fall in love with Jesus, transformation will take place. You hear the word of God and you fellowship with His people. He can and will transform your life to a place of victory. I know because He's done it with me. I am very grateful that He led my family to this church. I've been saved for a very short time. 12 years. I just realized this morning, 12 years, today exactly, 12 years and 3 months, I've been saved. And when I look back and see what God has done in my life and He's busy doing in my life, I'm just amazed that I'm in this church. And I trust this morning that when you look back at what God has done in your life, that you're happy that you are where you are. And maybe realize where you would have been if you weren't here this morning. Tell the person next to you, welcome to church. Yeah, get you all awake a bit. I don't know about you, but in church I found departing from my past. I found power for my present, and I found promises for my future. And God is saying this morning to you, He's got promises for each and every single one of you, for your future. You're not here by mistake this morning. You're here for a specific reason. And you're hearing this message this morning, and that's been preached this last couple of weeks, for a specific reason. And even in this time, I've been speaking to people, and I've seen lives being transformed and changed. And that's when I know this is the right place. This is the right place. Everything lasting that matters in your life, I firmly believe this, will come through the power of Jesus being preached and being faithfully attending the church. Everything lastly, and I do that, I say that because of what has happened in my life. And I want you to leave here this morning with those thoughts, that everything lasting is because of Jesus and the church. Genesis 2, verses 18, if you can put up that scripture for me. It says, And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. That's out of the King James Version. You didn't read that incorrect. It doesn't say a help mate. It said a help meet. And if you go and look at the original text of what that means, Jesus, God was saying to Adam, I'm going to introduce you to your other self. I'm going to introduce you to your completed self. And Eve is a type of the church. Andrew, you're laughing. Eh? There's some thoughts going around here. The ladies are keeping quiet, but they... But Eve is a type of the church. And the church is your helpmeet. The church will help you meet every challenge in your life. The church will help you meet the sin challenges in your life. The church will help you meet the marital problems in your life. The challenges of raising children and teenagers. Say amen to that. The church will help you meet those challenges. It will help you meet the financial challenges, yes? Yeah? What about the physical challenges? And it's in the church that you get introduced to your other self. I was here when I came in, but now I'm in another direction. I used to be this person, but now I'm another person. I'm a new creation. I used to be drowning in my sin. I used to be in places of darkness and difficultness. But now I'm heading for restoration. I'm being transformed and changed. It is at the church that you get introduced to your better self, your other self. The one that's following Jesus and that's transforming your life. And it's at the church that you will learn, and that's what I learned, I am somebody. Say, I am somebody. I am going somewhere. And I'm going to do something big for God with my life. Do you believe that? You didn't say it like you believe it. When you leave here this morning, you, husbands and wives, you tell it to each other. Friends, maybe before you leave here this morning. But then you need to believe it. Because it's at the church, by the preaching of Jesus, that I found out my identity. I am somebody. I am not the person the world sees me to be. I am the person that Jesus sees me to be. And I'm a husband, I'm a father, and I'm grateful that my family is in church. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, your family's not in church. Doesn't mean the opportunity is lost. You continue to faithfully serve and show them the transformation power of Jesus in your life. And maybe, just maybe, something will happen. Mark 4, verses 35. It says, on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. So I first spoke about the church, the importance of church. But I want to say to you now, as I go over to this, that the only way you can cross over from weak areas in your life, from troubled areas in your life, areas where sin grips you, addiction, abuse, all those things, the only way that you can cross over, get over that, is to cross over. When Jesus told the disciples, let us cross over, he gave them a revelation. So this morning, I want to say to you, the only way to get over the abuse and the hurt and the things that's maybe been done to you, maybe a bad deal has come along your way and you're carrying that thing and you're still paying for it. Whatever that is, the only way to get over it is to cross over. And I know it's difficult, as you might hear this morning, it's not that easy. But when you get a revelation of who Jesus is and what he did on the cross for you and for me, and we're in this environment where people can help us to cross over, and Jesus says, come, let us cross over, you can get to a place of restoration, and you will get to a place of restoration if you allow him to work in your life. And in 2 Kings 6, from verses 1 to 7, there is the story of the sons of the prophets. You can keep that up. I'll get to that verse now. But from verses 1, there's a story of the sons of the prophets that needed to enlarge the training place. And one of the guys borrowed an axe, and he was chopping down trees. And as he was going backwards and forwards and chopping down the trees, the axe head got loose. And so when he went back and he chopped, before something gets lost, it first gets loose. All right, so that axe head flew into the Jordan River. And what do you think happened to the axe head when it hit the water? It sank. It sank right down to the bottom, into the mud and into the dirt. And there's a truth behind this. And I've seen this over this 12 years and 3 months. Before something ever gets lost, it first gets loose. Friends, you're here this morning and you get loose in your conviction about church attendance. You get loose in your conviction about the church. If you get loose in the area of tithing, if you get loose in whatever that conviction is about the church, about the word of God, you need to make sure that you're in church on a Sunday. And why do I say that? Because it's a church on a Sunday where there's areas that we get loose in our convictions about certain things. But then we get in and we hear the word and we get our grip tighter. We get our grip tighter on Jesus and His word and the power of His word, so that that axe don't get too loose, that it gets to a space where it's lost. And we must get that revelation, friends. Don't let your convictions get too loose that you get to such a place where you get lost. I was almost there a couple of times. I'm thinking about, there's so many testimonies, but I'm not going to share them now. Because the guys are saying, Donnie, keep your testimony short. But I want you, if there's one thing to leave you this morning, don't get loose on your conviction about the church, about Jesus, and the power of God's word. If you want to find out anything in life, you go and say, okay, what does God's word say about it? And the conviction comes from there. It's sad. I've seen many people leave the church because of loose convictions. And sadly, and I'm praying for them still because it breaks my heart, they are lost today. And I'm praying for them, say, God, bring them back. Bring them back. Bring them back. They need to be in your kingdom. And then listen to this, and this is where this comes. And the man said, Master, it was borrowed. And then it says that the man of God asked, where did it fall? Maybe you can come up, Lindy. Where did it fall? This is the King James Version, and there's a reason why I'm using this. And I'm just looking at this thing, and maybe the man said, no, right over there, maybe 10, 15 meters in, but it's lost now, but I'll probably not get it, but it's right over there. And the Bible says that the prophet cut off a stick of the tree. And he throws it in the vicinity of where that axe head got lost. And here is another truth, friends. The word of God being preached every Sunday in the church is when Jesus throws that stick in our vicinity. As I'm preaching now, this morning, you know where you're at. God is working in our hearts and in my heart. And Jesus is throwing a stick in your vicinity this morning, in your proximity, where you're at. And that stick gets in the proximity of where that axe head fell, right down in the mud and the dirt of the Jordan River. And there's people, we've prayed for them this morning in the prayer meeting, that are in the mud. They're at the bottom. And we need, through our lifestyles, and we've prayed for that this morning as well, through our lifestyles, we must be that stick thrown into their vicinity. Jesus must use every single one of us here this morning. And get into that vicinity of that person that's down and out, that's marriage is in trouble, that's in a place of addiction, that's in a place of brokenness, that's in a place of abuse, that's been handed a bad deal, and they're still paying for it today. We need to get in the vicinity so that Jesus can do what he needs to do. Because what happens if we get in that vicinity, suddenly, and look at what the Bible says. In verse 6 it says, and the iron did swim. How's that? One of the biggest miracles in the Bible. I'm sure somebody stood there and they saw this axe head going down. And the stick is being thrown in the vicinity. And suddenly, this axe head is coming up. And they must be standing and thinking, but your nature is to go down. Your nature is not to come up. But that old axe head is saying, I'm coming up. That drug addict is saying, I'm coming up. In my life, I've said, I'm coming up. I was a bad husband, I was a bad father, but I'm coming up. Because Jesus has been thrown into my vicinity, into my proximity. And this morning, he's in your proximity. What area of your life are you in today? Jesus is pulling you up this morning, friends. Jesus is pulling you up. Your nature is not to be at the bottom. I can see that exit shaking off the dirt and the mud. And he says, I'm coming up. I'm coming up. In my lifetime, when I've gone through difficult stages, Jesus was in my vicinity. The church was there. People, the sticks were being thrown in my proximity. And I've been pulled up. The sin didn't hold me down. The brokenness didn't hold me down. And this morning, you need to come up. You need to reach up. Just that first step, reach up. Say, Jesus, I'm coming up. I'm coming up out of my addiction. I'm coming up out of my brokenness, out of my abuse, out of my hurt, out of my offenses. I'm coming up. Because of the power of your word. And because of where you've placed me. And we need to be those people. If we have been through that and we've been down and out and we've come up, we need to be those ones that goes into the vicinity of broken people's lives. And they need to get in a place where they can sit and they can say, I am somebody. And I am going somewhere. And I am going to do something big with my life for God. Amen? And maybe you're here this morning and you started to get loose in some of your convictions. God is saying to you this morning, I want you to get a tighter grip on Jesus. I want you to get a tighter grip on Jesus. You need to come back. So with that, let's close our eyes. Father, I thank you this morning for the power of your word. I thank you, Father, that through Jesus, our lives can be transformed. And I thank you that you use the church as the vehicle to transform lives. And maybe you're here this morning, you say, Donnie, I came in today with some mud and dirt in my life. I came in one way, but I would like to leave another way. I came in with one name, but I would like to leave with another. I came in with one reputation, but I would like to leave with another. I would like to leave with a living Savior in me. I need Jesus to change and transform my nature from a sinker to a swimmer. I was not made to be at the bottom. If that is you this morning, I want you to take a bold step and raise your hand. I would love to pray for you this morning. Between yourself and the Lord, just pray this. Say, Lord, I thank you that you throw that stick in my vicinity today. Lord, I am a sinner, and you are my Savior. I thank you that you went to the cross for me, that you died for my sins. And today, because of that, I'm going from a sinker to a swimmer. I am no longer who I used to be. I am a new person in you, Father. Thank you for taking my sins away. And thank you this morning that I can swim and I can come up, Father, and that my life will be transformed, and that I am somebody. I'm going somewhere, Father, and I'm going to do something big with my life. Wow. You are good, Father. Thank you, Lord. And then there's some of us this morning. Maybe you started to get loose in your convictions. And I don't know what that is, but the Holy Spirit would have showed you this morning, what are those areas that you are getting loose in? Maybe it's offenses, it's hurt, it's brokenness, conviction in certain areas. Conviction on sin areas of your life. And this morning you're saying, Jesus, I want to get a firmer grip on you. I'm busy sinking, but I want to come back up. And I want you to transform my life for the better. If that is you this morning, I would like you to raise your hand. We would love to pray for you. We would love to pray for you. I want us to stand. We can just all stand. And this morning, I want you to take the bold step. If that is you, you started getting loose in some areas, please come to the front. We would love to pray for you. Just get some of the ladies to come and pray for, please. Inside as well. And pray for you. Is there anybody else? Be bold this morning. God wants to transform your life this morning. Is there anybody else that needs prayer? Please come to the front. Somebody just, yeah, so. Father, we thank you, Lord. For the people that took the bold steps this morning and say, Lord, come and transform my life. Come and change me. I want to get a firmer grip on you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Father, for the rest of us, this morning I pray that we will continue to strengthen ourselves through the power of your word, so that we can be thrown in the vicinities of the lost, of the broken, of the hurt. And I pray this week, Lord, that you will show us who those people are, that you will put them on our paths. And wherever we go, Father, we will be alert. Holy Spirit, show us. And use us so that you can be glorified. We pray for that in your precious name.